If there are any children that stick around for the baptism, you're most welcome to go to the groups. Equally, if they should make any noise, don't panic, don't worry. I've got three children myself, and I know what it is to be in your shoes. So be at ease. There is a escape at the back if you really feel necessary, but that's something that you judge well, something that's required by us. As part of our different sermon series that we're doing at this church, we're doing a much different one where once a month we look at the subject of prayer. And today we're going to be thinking about persisting in prayer, carrying on praying when things are hard, things are difficult, or when our prayers aren't answered as we wish. As we welcome Ralph into our church family, that's what we're doing. We're welcoming into a people who are on a journey of worshipping Jesus, of living life together, of doing the life with him. And prayer is so important to that. That's one of the things that the parents and godparents, as he grows up, will be teaching him, that he can come to Jesus and share his stress and his worries, can bring to him his problems, and know that God is with him. For visitors, you won't be aware of this, for the Christian congregation, you'll be all too aware of it. We're just coming up to my 1 year anniversary. I've been here just under a year. And I want to share with you something in my story before I came here, because I think it will help you to hear me when I talk about sometimes prayer being difficult and painful. Before I was here, I was down in Devon. There was a group of five churches, and there was a team rector who was the big boss. Then there was the team vicar, who was like the middle-sized boss. And then at the bottom of the pile was me, the curate, the apprentice. First year was really good fun. Really exciting, me learning by trial and error, and you think from my enthusiasm. My boss is getting out of the old scrape or two. Good times. But in the second year, it got really tricky. Just at the start of my second year, my colleague, my rector's wife, was suddenly, completely out of the blue, overnight, diagnosed with terminal leukemia. And just like that, a mother of five children, aged between 21 and 9, suddenly was told, "You've got 3 months to live." Obviously, my colleague went off on compassionate leave. And Jeremy and I soldiered on, leading a church in praying for a family that we love deeply, praying for healing, praying for restoration. Our hearts break. Less than 6 months later, Jeremy, again, completely out of the blue, overnight, was diagnosed with terminal skin cancer and was given 6 months to live. And so in the space of sort of 7-8 months, I've suddenly gone from being the office junior to sort of being the boss, and seeing two families that I really deeply care for devastated. And we as a church family went for a piece of life great to really battling in prayer. Our hearts breaking for Jeremy and for Rachel. So what happened? Well, God was amazing. We prayed, and we cried together, and we prayed, and we saw miraculous fruit. Rachel had a bone marrow transplant. The odds were not good, but it went really well. They were stacked against her, but in God's grace, it worked and she went into remission. That was huge, that sort of medically possible. We celebrated. But then it came back again. This time, Rachel was medically done for. There was, you know, no kind of small percentage. And we prayed again. And miraculously, she went into remission, sufficient for her to have a second bone marrow transplant, which medically does not happen. She was sort of furthering the boundaries of medical science as she did that. And in you know, your body just can't take the shit that you put through. But again, in God's grace, you came through. And we as a church family celebrated and worshipped and were so thankful. Meanwhile, with Jeremy, his secondaries were really obvious. He had like a tumour the size of a grapefruit. Grapefruit in his throat. You could just see. You know how sometimes cancer's hidden in the background? Well, this was just in our faces. And he started on a trial treatment that wasn't available in Asia at the time, called immunotherapy. And amazingly, in God's grace, God answered our prayers, and we could physically see the tumour shrinking with the treatment. And then the medical professional said, it's amazing. We didn't know what this immunotherapy would do, but it's literally put the cancer on hold. It shrunk it down and frozen it. It's not grown, it's not doing anything. And again, we celebrated and we prayed and we thanked. It was a massive, heart-wrenching roller coaster. When I first came here, I shared this sort of private with some of you, different bits. But I didn't want to dump on my new church family that I bring this baggage and this burden. The Bible is more honest about unanswered prayer than many of our churches are, because there was the final chapter. Great source of leukemia came back again, and she died. And we were broken, and we were devastated. That happened sort of 3 months before I met him. And then in my first 3 months here, Jeremy's cancer just sprung back into life. And he died, and I had to go back from here to his funeral, which was a massive privilege. It was heartbreaking. And we prayed, and we've seen literally what doctors would say is miracles in terms of Rachel. So let's go again, let's go again. But in our humanity, the final answer was not as we wanted. We knew the comfort of knowing that they'd gone through with Jesus, that there was meaning and purpose within it. We knew that because they believed in Jesus and had placed their trust in him, we knew that their eternal destiny was secure, and we celebrated that. But we hurt. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. An answer prayer. Thinking about when the answer is not as we wish. As a church, too often, we want to kind of brush it under the carpet because it's not neat, it's not tidy for us. Half of the Psalms are not happy flappy, as we've been learning some evenings. They're about struggle, about keeping going, about honest, real faith. One of the key things that as Ralph grows up, we need to impart to him is that just because he's following Jesus doesn't mean everything is going to be peach, that everything is going to be easy. But the amazing thing is that as he grows up, when he hits troubles and stresses, when his parents are having one of those moments where it's like, I just don't have the answers. I'm out of my depth here. I can't fix it for myself. I can't fix it. I can't make it right. And that's breaking me. Ralph can know that Jesus is with me. His parents can break it, knowing that there is someone bigger and better than them to hold him and sustain him and to bring through and to bless him. Jesus said to his disciples, you will have trouble. It's not a great sales pitch, is it? If you're a business owner and you're not going to get a Christian, can my pitch be to you? Join the church, come and follow Jesus, put your faith in him. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be tough at times. But that's honest. That's real. That's life, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to keep going through prayer. When we're struggling, sometimes it's hard to pray, but it's the best thing that we can do. So let's think about what I say. I wonder if for some of you, you've prayed about things. You might not even say, I'm a Christian, but there was something going on in my life, and I was way out of my depth, and I just found myself praying. Maybe for some of us who are people of faith, We're crazed about desperately wanting to see our friend, you know, healed with terminal illness. Or we've got a friend who's desperate to just meet their partner in life. And they just don't see the answer. Yeah. Or desperate to get out of a circumstance of stress and anxiety and pressure. It just doesn't seem to be happening. I want you to know this. If you've been disappointed in prayer, if you've struggled with feeling like the prayers were unanswered, it's not unbelief, it's real faith. Prayer is about relationship with God. That's what we've welcomed Ralph into, to walk with Jesus in life. It's not about busy, busy, let's get busy, or abracadabra, magic powers. That's not what prayer is. It's real, it's honest. It's saying to Jesus, this is how I feel. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need. This is what's breaking my heart. Father, I'm struggling here. Please help me. So let me give you three sort of filters through which we can begin to make sense. So I don't offer this glibly as sort of neat and easy. But how can we live? How can we make sense? How can we come to God with struggles and things, difficulties that we're really battling? Three filters. You'll find them in here. That's a sort of little mental job to recap of some of them I'm sharing with you. God's world, God's will, God's walk. God's world. God's world. If God answered every prayer of every bride, they wouldn't have rain on their wedding day. We've got right in the back, we'll be praying that prayer for this coming Saturday. We'd be living in a desert. The farmers wouldn't be happy and we'd be hungry. There's a bigger picture, isn't there? The way the world works, how things need to be. Sometimes in the answer to prayer, we have to acknowledge that our prayers cannot fit into the bigger picture. And as much as we want our wedding day to be dry, please Lord, let it be so. There's a bigger picture. So that's God's world. God's will. God knows best. Sometimes that's hard to trust. Sometimes it's difficult. The Bible describes being human as like living life through the world's worst prescription goggles. You know those really 1960s, really thick ones, like beer goggle kind of. Blurred, blurry. That's what the human condition is described in the Bible. Sometimes we feel like we see it clearly, but again, sometimes, later with the hindsight, we can say, I now get it, God's will makes sense. But at the time, we struggle, we're not sure. That can be helpful, to acknowledge that sometimes, that sometimes we've got to trust him. And then God's walk. As we speak, there's a family in our congregation who are wondering how their family is going to be over in Florida. There's a hurricane sweeping in, and we're watching up the news thinking, oh, that's heavy. So it's not personal. But for the church family, for us, it is personal. You can't tell me that it was God's will to send a hurricane to Latin America, or a mudslide to Sierra Leone, or that a woman's raped, or a child is knocked down and fight by a car. There's so much stuff in this world that is not right, not as God planned it or desired it. That happens. Our world is not as it should be. Human free will is hugely destructive at times. We've kicked into play things that we can't hold back now. That God can redeem it. God can bring good into the darkest circumstances. Sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes it's hard to continue walking as a Christian. Sometimes it feels like God is silent. But his silence isn't his absence. If you're praying about something, there's something going on in your life, and you're almost kind of like, God, if you're real, sort this out, and I'll believe you. And you don't feel like you've been answered. If you prayed about something for years, and you're still wrestling, God's silence isn't his absence. Actually, the reason you can't see him is because he's closer than that. He's with you. So let me finish by giving you a few principles for how to live. You're sometimes struggling with what's going on in your life. When Jesus was contemplating the misery of the cross, he was in a garden with some mates, and he said, can you just be with me? Just be with me in this. I'm going off to pray. And they were absolutely hopeless. They couldn't even stay awake to kind of keep him company. He prayed this. And he prayed this. Abba Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So the key thing before all else you need to know, if you're struggling through difficult circumstances, if life is tough and you're crying out to God, before all else Jesus knew that he was loved. Abba Father, Daddy, he knew that he was loved. You need to know, each one of you, that you are loved. However broken you feel inside, how much you might be struggling with something, you need to know you're loved. Second, he was honest and real. He said, well, if there's another way, if there's a plan B, I'll take it. You can pray like that. You can speak to God and say, what's going on? Is there another way? Please help me. This is where I'm at. I'm steaming. I'm angry. We can be honest and we can be real. And then finally, he trusted. Trusted in the goodness of his Heavenly Father. That big picture stuff where we're sort of in life and we're under pressure, we're in the pressure cooker and we're just like, what's going on? How can this be good? How can this be right? Jesus encouraged us to have that simple faith that trusted his Heavenly Father right now. So today, as we welcome Ralph, as we welcome the family, we're not sort of saying, congratulations, you've just signed up to the ultimate life insurance policy where everything will be perfect and easy. What we've signed you up to, and I hope you know this because it's too late, is we've signed you up to a journey of faith, knowing that God will be with you. For Ralph, knowing that he is loved and that he is precious in God's sight, and whatever life may throw at him, that he will never, never be alone. And he will never, never not be loved. Let's pray. In a moment of stillness, I encourage you to put to practice what I've been speaking about. I wonder if you've got people that you're worried about, loved ones who are sick or unwell. I wonder if you're really under pressure at work. I wonder if you've got financial worries. I wonder if you're longing to meet with a wife or your husband. You're longing to have children, start family. You're longing for a new direction, new purpose. I encourage you to just bring, just confide that in your Heavenly Father. Thank you that we can be honest and raw and real with you. Thank you that you are good. Amen. Lindsay's now going to come and lead us in a continued time in prayer.